National Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Rosalind Russell and James Stewart in Up From Darkness, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel. I want to welcome you to the fourth of the new series of Silver Theater dramatic productions. In weeks to come, you'll hear such stars as Franchot Tone, Helen Hayes, Ginger Rogers, Betty Davis, and Clark Gable, playing in stories by America's foremost authors. Today, we are proud to welcome back to Silver Theater MGM's brilliant stars, Rosalind Russell and James Stewart, in the first episode of Up From Darkness, a two-part radio play especially adapted for us by True Boardman from an original story by Grover Jones. Our town is Middleton, in the heart of America's great coal mining region. Our people, a girl called Michael, played by Rosalind Russell, and a boy called Tim, played by James Stewart.
Hey, Mom, you hear that? The old pipe organ of prosperity. Work tomorrow.
Oh, sure, it is fine music, Tim.
Now, Mom, where's my clean shirt?
On the table.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Say, you'll never guess who I saw in town to meet.
Who?
Michael Gargan.
The boss? Well, who didn't see him? Didn't he come down on the mine every day?
No, not him. Her, his daughter.
Mickey?
She come back from college just this morning. I saw her in Coburn's.
No.
Yes.
Well, what do you know? She's back, huh? Well, Mom, you can start supper. I'm all washed up now. So Mickey's back. Well, what's she look like? What'd she say? Has she still got those freckles?
She's got no freckles now, Tim. Or if she has, you can't see them.
What, Mickey Gargan and no freckles? Hey, what's...
Well, just remember, Tim, boy, 4 years at college can make a lot of difference in a girl. Oh, and now don't pester me. I got to get supper on the table. Your brother will walk in here starving.
Oh, no, there's plenty of time. He hasn't even finished shot firing yet. I can tell because...
Joe? Shot firing?
Oh, yeah, sure. Didn't he tell you? Yeah, Pud Llewellyn got hurt yesterday, and... Yeah, he lit a short fuse and didn't make it to the breakthrough in time, so they had to have a new shot fired, so Joe's it. Joe, I thought he told you.
No, he didn't.
Well, hey, Mom, why that long look? It's a break for Joe. What means more pay? Besides, you know Mike Gargan said he wanted Joe to work every job in the mine, but that boss got real plans for Joe,
yeah,
Mom.
Yeah, I know, Jim. I know.
Well, besides, somebody got to blast out the coal for us. Who can do the job better than Joe?
That's right. Nobody.
Hey, you know what? I'll bet if we give a listen, we'll be able to hear some of the shots he sets off down there. Now, the last rooms he'll be firing in are Nielsen's and Hughes's, and they're in the new rooms just off Main North. I pulled a trip down there today, and I was saying to myself, I said, I'll bet this entry's so close under our house that if I sing loud enough, Mom will be hearing me up there, you know?
Oh, Tim Barlow, 700 feet down, and you talk about... Ah, you're crazy as a blind dog in a meat house.
Listen, what'd I tell you? That's in Nielsen's room. I bet my shirt on it. Now there'll be two more shots in Nielsen's and four in Hughes's. Six more shots and you can put on the steak. Joe will be up before it's done. Mom, do you hear me?
Yes, Timmy, I heard you. Six, did you say? Then that's one of them.
Oh, hey, Mom, now what's happened to you? You're getting jittery because Joe sets off a few shots?
I'll get used to it like I get used to everything. Two.
Now, Mom, now quit it, will you? Joe knows how to take care of himself. Come on, now tell me more about Mickey.
Never you mind about Miss Michael Gargan. Just because you went to high school together, you don't need to think
of Mom, you're deaf. I'm not thinking anything. Well, I think I'll go down to the tipple and meet Joe when he comes up. And, oh, Mom... press my good pants for tomorrow, will you?
All right, Tim. Three. Four.
Three. in the place.
Dad.
Hello, Michael, girl.
Oh, gosh, how I've missed you.
Well, how about me? Yeah, let me look at you. Well, are they all through with you up at that school?
Well, I'm through with them. How about it? You think you got your money's worth?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. Of course, I'm not exactly used to the idea of a gargan being so darned educated. Never happened before.
Well, give me time and I'll live it down.
I hope so.
Oh, you're just in time to help, Dad. That crayon portrait of Uncle Joseph has leered at us about 20 years too long. Down it comes. It's the beginning of the revolution.
Oh, is it?
It is. First the pictures come down and then that stove out of the middle of the living room. I'm going to make this place livable, Dad. I'm going to do...
Wait a minute. You're going to do nothing of the kind.
Now, Mike Gargan, just because you own a coal mine, you don't have to live like a mule skinner.
No? Now, you listen to me, young woman. Every man in this town calls me by my first name, and it's going to stay that
but
way.
But, Dad, that still doesn't mean your house has to look like a museum. This place is almost as out of date as your mind.
Now, never mind the mind. Stick to something you know something about.
I do know something about it. I know that 70 men have been killed down there in the last 5 years, and that other men are being injured there every day.
All right. What are they worth?
Well, maybe being your daughter, I think something ought to be done about it.
Yeah, I suppose you'll be doing it. You probably had a very fine college course on problems of the miner or something. Now you've come home and tell me how to run things. Yeah, that's swell. Of course, the mere fact that you've never been down in the mine, that doesn't make any
that's
difference.
That's not fair, Dad. Oh, what's the matter with us? I'm home an hour and we're right where we left off when I went away. Battling about the mine.
Yeah, you're right. That's my fault. I'm sorry, girl.
Dad, while I was away, I thought about this a lot. Let's talk it out,
All right, Michael.
First of all, what you said about my never being down in the mine, having gone down into it, well, I would have a long time ago, except that I...
That you're afraid. Yeah. I know that, girl. I've always known it.
But I don't think you know why, Dad. You know the very first thing I remember as a kid? It was the shriek of that wildcat whistle that means a new disaster somewhere down there under the ground. Even before I was old enough to understand, I sensed the horror and terror that lay behind that sound.
Sure, I know, girl.
I can't tell you what it did to me. The dread it gave me, the thought of being part of something that could destroy so many lives. That's why I came to hate the mine, Dad. And I do hate it. But there's something else that I hate even more. That's letting you down. You see, I've always let you down.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Michael is a boy's name, Dad. Oh, you made yourself pretend that you were glad I was a girl. And you called me Michael anyway. But that couldn't make me another Mike Gargan. To grow up in the mine and to love it as you've loved it.
Oh, you're crazy.
No, I'm not, Mike. And because of that, I want you to know that I'm going to do something about the way I feel toward the mine. Sure, I'm afraid of it. I'm petrified of it. But I'll lick that fear, Mike. I've got to. Going to.
But look, Miss Mike, it's no good for you just hang around mine all day.
It's all right, Jan.
But what you do here? Just standing hours and look at mine. In your face, you feel sick, maybe?
No, Jan, it's all right.
Maybe you here to wait for somebody, huh?
No, never mind, Jan, please. Tell me, that bunch of miners who came up in the cage, was that the last load for today? I mean, is there no one left working down there now?
No, one more load. There, cage just come up now. This last one.
I don't care if he's been dead for 40 years.
Good night, boys.
Well, I always feel differently about the whole thing. He said it's not set the world on fire or something. Well, night, Yarn.
Night, Tim.
Mickey. Well, Mickey, how are you?
Tim. Tim Barlow.
Gee, it's great to see you, Mickey. I heard you were back. Mom told me you. Come on, let's... Come on, sit over here in this crate. Here, I'll dust it off for you. Say, you look swell. You sure do. How was that college business?
College? Oh, it was fine.
Hey, you feeling all right?
Yes, Tim.
What, you're waiting for your dad?
No. No, I just came down to see the mine.
to see the mine.
Uh-huh.
You? Gee, as far back as I can remember, you always wanted to stay just as far away from the mine as you could get.
Tim, you've changed. I didn't recognize you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty hard to keep clean.
No, it isn't your face, Tim. Or your clothes or anything like that. It's... Oh, you used to be taller. Why do you stoop over like that?
Well, I just get used to it, I guess. You're down in the tunnels, you know.
I see. So you're still here, working down there, I mean. Just like all the rest of them. Going down there every morning before dawn, coming out every afternoon.
Well, what do you mean? Well, sure, I'm still in the mine. Why shouldn't I be? Say, I'm a skinner now, Mickey.
But it's 4 years, Tim. Surely in 4 years you've had time to find something better than working down in that blackness. I mean, a job where you could accomplish something.
What do you mean? I am accomplishing something. I helped get that black stuff out of there, and you know what that stuff does? It makes light for people and heat, and it runs factories, and it's a kind of magic, that stuff is. It's like that lamp that guy, Aladdin, what's his name, had. Why don't I accomplish something, Woody? Like that.
Tim. Take me down in the mine.
Take you down the mine?
Now. I want to see it and know it and feel it. All of it. The shaft, every entry, every room.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, Mickey. You're scared to death of going down there. I know that.
That doesn't matter, Tim. Believe me, I've got to go down there. If I'm scared, I'll get over it. I've got to, Tim. My name is Michael Goggin.
Well, yeah, All right, I think I get it. But, Mickey, your dad will probably...
Dad needn't know. I'd rather he didn't until... until I've licked it, Tim. Oh, please. Please, Tim, take me down.
All right, Mickey. It's all sort of crazy, but... if it really matters to you, I'll do it. I'll take you down.
You've just heard Act One of the first episode of Up From Darkness, starring Rosalind Russell and James Stewart. Before the second act starts, a young man steps from behind the silver curtain with a grateful word for living in this generation. John Conte.
We don't talk about it very much, but I think at heart we all realize how fortunate we are to be living in a generation that makes it so easy for us all to enjoy the finer things of life. Take that most cherished of women's possessions, lavish sterling silver, solid silver through and through. Today, modern methods of silversmithing, modern skill and craftsmanship have brought solid silver within the reach of nearly everyone. For example, do you know that right now you can get an individual place setting in International Sterling's thrilling Enchantress pattern, six distinctive pieces of solid silver for only $16.75? Well, you can. And believe me, Enchantress is a pattern of incredible beauty. It's modern in its graceful sweeping lines and exquisite proportions, and yet it's romantic, too, in the delicate bit of carving at either side. But see Enchantress at your silverware dealers tomorrow. When you do, when you realize that here is silver loveliness that will never fade, when you find out for how little and on what easy terms you can own the solid silver you've always longed for, I know you are going to own International Sterling's Enchantress.